listening in the back room. Okay, we are ready to start. Welcome to the regularly scheduled meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. It is January 17th, 2023. Welcome to all you survivors of the bomb cyclone. And we will start with a moment of silence. Thank you. All right, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Do we have any Planning Commissioner announcements this evening? Joe? No? No? This direction?
No.
No? Excellent. All right. Moving on to our consent calendar. We just have our current and advanced planning and processing list. That is a receive and file, unless anybody has anything they'd like to pull on that. Nope. Okay. We will receive and file. We'll move right into our public hearings. Oh, excuse me. First, public comment for anything not on the agenda. Sorry. Anybody have any comment for anything not on the agenda this evening? I see one hand up. Come to the podium, sir.
Yeah, my name is Harold Wiebinga. I live directly east of the Perrys, who have applied for a permit to knock their house down and rebuild. I'm completely new at all this. I don't know what to do. And I have already, I've seen the plans of the Perry intention, and would like to notify you that Kathy Novak will be representing me from now on, and she was unable to make it. She had a meeting somewhere else today and declined to get involved in it at this time. So I'm just here to ask you for an extension on your decision for the dismantling of that home on Beachcomber, and that's it. I don't know what to do or what to say. The wood that holds my dirt on my property is starting to bulge like that, and there's no way I can service it because of the fence that was built there years ago when there was nobody owning the house I'm living in now, east of the Perrys. So I'm asking you for an extension on your decision, and therefore, that's all I can say right now, and hope you'll give me that extension so I can. I live in Hanford, California, and I come here every once in a while to enjoy this beautiful Morro Bay. So this is why we're here now. And I would like to for you to give me an extension. That's all there is to it.
All right. Thank you for your comment, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anyone else for public comment for items not on the agenda? Ms. Winholtz.
Good evening. I just would like to report two areas that I think need immediate attention in terms of street repair. I know almost every street having now been flooded or puddled. All streets are looking very poorly, but there's a huge tire trap on South Bay Boulevard as you head north, just outside the state park. And it's I have to go to Los Osos every day, and it's just getting bigger, and I can see some tire getting caught in this deep hole. And the other place that's really awful is the intersection of San Jacinto and Main Street. For those of you who live in North Morro Bay or use that intersection, it's just deteriorated so rapidly. And there's several of these huge chunks of asphalt that are missing.
Thank you for that. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda? AGP, do we have anybody in the queue for public comment?
We have no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you very much. So we will close public comment. In terms of street repair, would the best thing be to go to Public Works with those items?
I'll convey Betty's comments related to those two areas to our Public Works Director, Greg Qualick.
Excellent.
And City Engineer, Eric Ridio.
All right, thank you very much for that.
I would also note that the first speaker, he was referring to the project that you reviewed at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no ability for the Planning Commission to do anything with that. That project was approved. Although it sounds like he has representation from Kathy Novak, and it would be good that maybe he and Kathy make contact with the Community Development Department about the issues that they're experiencing.
Sounds good. Thank you for that. All right. Now we will move on to our public hearings, B1. We will look to staff for the staff report. Ms. Hubbard.
Okay, this is a continuance of the hearing regarding the coastal development permit for 3009 Beachcomber Drive. And the Planning Commission at the last hearing voted 3-2 for a continuance in order to further study the condition of the existing home prior to approving a permit that allows demolition of a James Mall structure. Ownership history of the home. In 1971, the home was designed and built as James Mall's private residence. The home was sold in 2018, just 6 months before James Mall's death. The 2018 purchasers applied for permits to make the home code compliant while restoring many of the Jim Mall design elements. The project was approved for a coastal development permit. Do you want me to stop talking now? It was approved for a coastal development permit and a building permit in 2019. Structural review of the home prior to construction revealed significant something at the bottom of the screen, but I'm going to go with structural damage. Structural review of the home. The initial structural review and findings were performed by Mike Smith, and he's with SSG. Findings were consistent with homes of this age that had not been meticulously maintained. Determination was made that the home could not feasibly be restored, and the owners decided to sell the property. The home was sold to the current owners in 2021, who purchased the home knowing of the structural damage and purchased with the intent to demo the home and build a new modern home on the site. And this is an image of the proposed new home. A second structural review of the existing home by Ashley and Vance Engineering in SLO confirmed the findings of the initial structural analysis. The home is currently rented, and the tenant living there for the past 6 months says that although he enjoys the unique design elements, the daily movement of the foundation and the concern about additional water intrusion take away from the experience. The Planning Commission scheduled a site visit for January 9th. That was an excellent day for being out and about and maybe looking under a house, but it was canceled due to extreme weather and flooding. Phone call between Commissioner Roshan and the project architect was also scheduled in place of the site visit, but not able to occur because of power outage. So the phone call, I understand, occurred yesterday, and I'm hoping that the Commissioner Roshan can give us an update when I'm done with my presentation. Findings in support of preservation of this home. The City of Morro Bay has no historic preservation ordinance in place as of this date. Typically, submittal of a home for consideration of a listing on the California Registry of Historic Structures requires the owner's consent. The city's general plan and zoning code do not include policies that require preservation of this home. And that concludes my presentation. The staff recommendation is for approval of the Coastal Development Permit CDP 22-023 pursuant to the findings and conditions of approval included in the Planning Commission Resolution 03-23.
Thank you for that. Let's turn to Mr. Roshan. Were you able to report on anything from your conversation?
Do we want to hear public comment first, do you think?
Normally what we would do is any questions on the staff report, and it feels like this might be part of the staff report, so.
So I guess what I'd offer is first a big thank you to Bill Isseman and Nancy, who were ready to come out in torrential rains, risk being isolated here in Morro Bay all day Monday. But we did cancel, so we were okay. The idea was that Joe and I would visit the house and also take a look at the structural information, which we were supplied. Thank you, Nancy. We weren't able to do that during the week with the rains, but I did speak quite a bit with Bill yesterday. And so I've got a series of things I'd like to go through, but I was going to do those in my comments. And but if there's specific questions, Nancy, that you would have, no.
Okay. Any commissioner questions for staff? Not at this point. Mike? Okay. All right. So we will open for public comment on this item. Who would like to go first? Welcome.
First, because I'm closest to the mic. My name is Terry Simons, resident of Morro Bay. I've also been a resident of the county for over 50 years. I have two fundamental issues. I don't quite understand a CEQA historic evaluation report on a CEQA determination that's exempt. I'm not going to go any further on that. My biggest concern as I've looked at this project, and particularly looking at the history of it, is that while the building itself has failed, the original site planning I felt, very appropriate to our local conditions. I'm concerned that an out-of-town, particularly someone from Texas, might have a misunderstanding about local conditions, and I would point specifically to the living room and the outdoor area, both of which face right into the severely prevailing winds. I think that it's a shame that a house like this that's clearly going to cost well in excess of $1 million to build may be partially uninhabitable because of its poor orientation to both solar and prevailing wind conditions. Further, looking at the plans to the degree that they're shown in the staff report, the living room seems to be favored with a spectacular multi-panel sliding glass door that opens directly into the northwest winds and only a few feet from the sand dunes. And my own experience of living in the South County on the Strand is that when the wind comes up, the sand picks up and moves, and it comes right into the building. Additionally, the original mall design had the building on a raised foundation. This current design appears to be on a slab, which means it's going to be on grade, which means there's a very real possibility that there will be a 1 to 2 foot sand dune washed up, blown up against the side of the building where that sliding glass door is. I know it's late in the process, but at least construction hasn't started, and I hope that we have a mechanism someday where this kind of local knowledge can be given to applicants and architects that may not have the local experience or even see the site the same way someone like myself does, who's spent a lifetime doing this kind of development. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Simons. Welcome.
Good evening. Barry Brannon. I'm a Morro Bay resident. I also live on Beachcomber, and we talk about local knowledge whenever you're sailing a sailboat. Well, I feel I have local knowledge in the resident, and I'd like to back up what Mr. Simon says. We have a wonderful deck right on Beachcomber. We live at the corner of Beachcomber and Sicily. We can't use that deck. We love it, but the wind blows just all the time. So if you're not on the south or have a south porch, you can't use it. We have a wonderful south-facing backyard. So I would like to reemphasize Mr. Simon's comment. They're really prudent. The first thing I saw when I saw the beautiful plans, it appeared to me that the house was upside down. And that's all I would say to the applicant. Local knowledge is very important. I've won a lot of sailboat races because I had local knowledge. I'd like to pass it on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else for public comment? Welcome.
Betty Winholtz. I would like to thank the Planning Commission for the due diligence that you gave to this item at your last hearing. I wasn't able to stay, but I did watch it, and others watched it and made comment to me. And they really appreciate the thoroughness with which you went over this item, because it is a significant piece of Morro Bay, and that you were interested in making sure that you were making the right decision, that you turned over every rock. And to someone outside of this kind of interest may not have cared, but I really appreciate it. I know others appreciated it, and I don't know what kind of resolution. I assume we're going to come back to the same place, but at least we know we did everything that we could. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for comment on this item? Seeing none, AGP, do we have anyone in the queue?
We do not have any raised hands in the queue at the time.
All right, we will close public comment and bring it back to the commission. We did have a number of comments from other neighbors who wrote in support of the project. It is interesting, the comments that were made about the orientation towards the ocean. Some of you may not know that historically in Cayucas, the poor people had the homes on the beach side of the street where all the wind and the sand was blowing at them, and the wealthier people lived on the other side of the street because it was just much more comfortable there. I will let you know also that my backyard, where my big deck is sheltered from those winds, and it's sunny and 10 degrees warmer than the side that would face those prevailing winds. I suppose that's why people would build screens. However, we're not here to do the architectural review of this project. So back to the commission. I would be interested in hearing what engineering or structural things you might have learned in your investigations, and any other discussion items that the rest of the commissioners would like to bring up.
Sure. So let me kind of offer what I learned speaking with Bill. I'll start real quickly, and thank you, Betty, for the support and the fact that we tried to work hard at this. I think the issues were that we had just lost the Little Red Schoolhouse the month before, and we were worried that here we're losing another Morro Bay gem. And so to work hard at it, we wanted to look at the structural issues. We were hoping to visit the site. And we also wanted to come up with what sort of options we might have to work with this applicant, knowing that there is no historic planning ordinance in place. And so my understanding was almost anything the applicant offered was going to have to be volunteered. Again, I'll start with a thank you to Bill Isselman and to Nancy. We worked hard. I did look at the structural issues. It's a very thorough effort that the structural engineer did. It's very convincing. Bill talked to me for an hour going over the options. And one reason I thought this is a worthwhile effort to do in the public is that this is an opportunity for us to look to the next one as well. What kind of process do we put in place? What's missing? And how do we find a fair balance? The Planning Commission wants to balance property rights with, let's call it, public worth, public value. And so historic buildings here in Morro Bay are part of our community, so we want to do everything we can to be sure that this was not an option to see how to save the building. Talking with Bill, I brought up a number of issues, and these are things that I think are worthwhile saying in the public forum. One is to nominate this building is a possibility for historic registration. And I actually feel I've had great experience with other folks where we can get experts to come in and do this nomination pro bono. They'll do it for free because they understand the value and worth of such an important structure. The reason the nomination is a help to the applicant is with tax credits, you can have considerable savings. You can save as much as 20% or more on the construction cost as well as the soft costs. Let's say the cost of this building is $1 million. That's a substantial savings right off the top through tax credits. The other thing that I mentioned to Bill is I did reach out to a number of locals to sort of see, you know, is there community support for this house? Quite a few people thought yes. The fact that the community support would be not only to politically support it, but maybe even financially support it is an option. The other option is to relocate the structure. This is not the best of options because when you relocate a historic building, it loses its integrity quite a bit by the relocation. It's also not inexpensive, and you still have to restore the building once it's moved, and you have to find a site for it. But Bill said the owners were willing to consider that. Third thing is to talk about documentation, which has been done to quite a bit of an extent, as-built plans, photographs. So the outcome of our conversation was Bill felt the applicants are traveling in South America, I think, right now. Not easily, you can't get a hold of them too easily. But Bill felt they would be willing to meet with the Planning Commission, which would, I think, be the subcommittee that's been doing this, Joe and I, to talk over some of these options. That being said, I think because all of these options are voluntary, the applicant is not a local. The applicant, I think, has a large family, 6 kids. Not sure that this home fits their needs. I'm willing to spend the extra time and see if there isn't some resolve, but I don't see how this commission can enforce any of these opportunities with this house. That brings me to maybe the most important point is one reason that I wanted to raise this up and the commission is so concerned about it is that we have to work on this if we want a historic ordinance in place. That is the only way we're going to have the ability to fairly negotiate with an applicant, and it's fair for the applicant. The applicant should know in advance that this building is important. The applicant needs to know in advance when they buy it that, you know, they're not going to get hit with a side glance, that this is something that they can plan for, they can work around. So I think the outcome for this, for me, is there's lots of things in the community's efforts, but it does need to start with a historic preservation ordinance. I'm excited about that. I think the commission will support that. On the agenda today, our next item is to have a discussion around historic preservation. One of the things that interests me is that historic preservation is kind of an unknown. A lot of people are afraid of it. And what I'm hoping is that the Planning Commission's job is to be in between. We are neither all preservation or all property rights. We want to see if we can find that middle ground that preserves the quality and character of our town, but also supports the rights, property rights of our residents. So we'll have that discussion in the next item. My feeling right now, and the motion I would be prepared to make after discussion, is that we should approve the staff report with the one condition that we do get to review the documentation, that we do get to comment and make sure the documentation is complete. Also, that if we could meet with the applicant, I think that's of value, to talk about the possibility of relocating the building. Or if the process goes through, I'd like to make the condition that they can't remove the house from the site until they're ready to start the project. So that just ensures that we don't knock down the house prematurely and then the site sits there vacant. That's a common condition that I've seen on many planning commissions. I don't think it's asking a lot, but I do think it just means that it has to be a real process before they tear the building down. So that's sort of the thoughtful outcome that we had. I wish I could have visited the site. I really would have liked that. And I do appreciate, again, the architect and staff helping us go through this process because it elevates the process we need to do, I think, through the appropriate, you know, policy, which we have to put in place. So that's what I had to say. And, Joe, I don't know if you had any comments on this.
In a sense, I'm sort of grateful for the situation that's been presented because, again, it underscores eloquently that the need for this historical preservation ordinance. You know, I hadn't thought about the idea of the building being removed and then the lot standing there vacant. And, you know, from a practical standpoint, any number of things can happen between now and the beginning of construction. So, I think that's a very good idea, and I don't think it puts much of a burden on the applicant. And I would hope that we do get an opportunity to talk to them about the condition of the property, you know, before they start putting a shovel to the dirt and all that.
Thank you for that. Couple thoughts and questions. In my research, and you may be helpful with this, on historic property designations, and I did see the 20% number on the cost of renovation, both at the federal level, and then there was also a state tax credit of 20%. However, in both cases, the property must be income generating. It must be generating tax revenue, which suggested that because the state or federal government wants to get reimbursed for that credit. So that would suggest it would need to be a vacation rental or a rental property, which concerned me a little bit. So I'd want to be very careful about opening that door. Let's just make sure that that is not the case, because especially on Beachcomber, that's the last thing we need to encourage more of is vacation rentals. And I don't think that's what this family has in mind. But as we, and especially when we get into the next discussion item, and as we move forward with that ordinance, I think that's really important. While I think, in especially in the cases of commercial properties, the idea that some of these historic properties can be available for people to have access to is very exciting. And perhaps in home tours, and that's done a lot in our county areas with garden tours and kitchen tours and things. There have been historic home tours. That kind of thing could be fabulous, but we don't want to set people up to have to essentially reimburse the federal or state government by creating a commercial situation with their properties. So that would concern me. Another thing, and I don't know quite how to phrase this, but I was talking with Ms. Hubbard about it a little bit, is if the house were to come down, and thinking about that beautiful wood in there, damaged as it might be, there are an awful lot of craftspeople in our community who would love to have the opportunity to salvage that, the wood and maybe other things that are in there, some of the copper, and create new and beautiful things with it. I was just gifted a table for my deck that was made of over 100-year-old redwood that was salvaged from a house up in San Francisco area that was then made into a bed that was then resalvaged now into this table. So, you know, beautiful things can come of this old wood, and who wouldn't want to have a, you know, some piece of furniture made of Jim Maul property. So, you know, perhaps that could be another condition that could be added, you know, if and when this property is demolished, that there be a way to salvage as much of the timber as possible. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other?
If just a quick response.
Sure.
Whenever historic tax credits are involved, there are experts who know how to set that up and do it. I'm not one of those, but I would say that I've been involved with many, the Mills Act as well as, you know, federal tax credits, and I think it's very doable without having to be an income property. I think it depends on how you structure it. So I would say that's an option. I think the idea of salvage or even the idea of partial relocation is an option. Where maybe if we found someone who could use that, could we save a portion of the house? And if the applicant is open to that, that's kind of going to depend on who wants it, right? Who can go in and do it. Mm-hmm. But I'd be happy to kind of push for that.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
Yeah, and I just want to dovetail on what Bill just said. I said, by saying financial incentives are great, but they're not the primary, you know, finding that we make in preserving history. That has to come from something else, another process. I mean, saving money is always great, but that's not how we make decisions. What we need is an ordinance. We need a tool that helps us preserve our history. We don't have that tool as of right now. All we're trying to do by making even this motion is to let the applicant go forward with what they're trying to do and try to be a progressive planning commission and trying to preserve our history at the same time, possibly. There's no guarantee that's going to happen, but that's the best we could get. And the applicant has stated that they're willing to try to work with us. So that's where we're at. So, I would support that motion without tying the hands of the applicant, letting them move forward, but trying to preserve our history. That's why we did what we did the first time, right? One way or another, be it move it, be it preserve some of the wood, be it whatever. We're going to preserve something, I hope, in this process. But the applicant's not required to do any of that based upon the findings we make. It's nice that they were willing to work with us in that continuance and think about some of the options Bill has talked to the applicant's rep about. That was very nice of them, and that's all we were trying to do. We were never trying to stop the applicant from moving forward with their project. And in fact, I think it's a great project. Some of the other items that have been brought up, such as, you know, how it was designed, again, that's not, you know, we're not going to stop an applicant unless it's against our design guidelines, right? And that's what staff does for us. So, again, you know, I'm glad people brought that information forward because it may help the applicant. And they can always pull the plug and do some redesign on their own, but we're not going to stop that process, especially if it's been through staff. They've reviewed it, they've approved it, and they're saying to us, approve it. So I don't want to stop them as well on the design because that's their design, right? That's what they've come up with and they're willing to do. Now, if it's done wrong, then at least somebody came forward and said, you may want to reconsider that. So I like that, the fact that people came forward with that information. But that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Ms. King, you got anything? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, so if someone makes a motion to move forward with staff's recommendations, then we can tack on some of these recommendations to the owner Conditions, yes. So what does that look like exactly? We're not approving some kind of special variance or anything, but what is our leverage, I guess, for...
We just approve it with conditions, and if the applicant doesn't like it, they can appeal it. But if we come to what we think are reasonable conditions, which I've already vetted with the architect, I think we're in.
So
we're not slowing down the process.
Sure. Just to clarify, it's not that we can require the applicant to do things, but we can put some of these conditions become a requirement.
Okay. I think one requirement is definitely the documentation of the house. That's required because it was identified as a locally significant historic property. So, and most of that documentation has been done. So, yeah.
I was just trying to get clarity on your raise's discussion of what's required versus what we consider a condition. So,
Susan, can I ask for clarification as well with the applicant's rep? Just to the person, and this would get back to what Bill and the rest of the commission has stated. Is I can't remember who the applicant's rep is that was speaking on behalf of the applicant.
I think.
I just want to ask you a question. Bill, right?
Bill Wilson.
Yeah. Okay. We took and heard information from Vice Chair Roshan. I just wanted to clarify that was correct and that you would be willing to work with us in trying to do what has been stated up here.
Sure. Good evening, Planning Commission and staff. My name is Bill Eisman. I am the architect representing the applicant for the project tonight. And I agree with the staff report that Ms. Hubbard put forward with the timelines. All that is correct information. Commissioner Rosen is also correct with recounting our conversation, and I do believe we're agreeable to some conditions. I think I want to make sure that we're clear on time frames. I believe they are aligning with each other. Commissioner Rosen, you had suggested prior to us demoing the house that we had the opportunity to actually consider alternative ideas, which is somewhat obvious to that point because we would have to do that. I think we probably need to set a time frame. I was saying prior to construction, which would mean we could also tie to the construction permit. We have not submitted construction drawings for plan check at this point, so we have some time built in there. But I just want to make sure that this wasn't a an open-ended date for that we actually had some definitive dates that we could work towards whatever solution we come to agree to.
Sure. I think it depends on the condition I would like to add is that the house cannot be demolished until you've pulled a construction permit.
Sure. I think we would be agreeable to that. And I think that's until we pull a construction permit. It's the same time frame.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked you, Ms. Bill, to clarify is that way our Commissioner King could understand what we were trying to do here and have some clarity, because that was a good question, was, what are we really trying to do? But I think, Bill and Bill have answered the question. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can I get some clarity on a couple things? I'd like to have the conditions reflect what the commission desires and what the applicant thinks is happening.
Yeah.
So let's have a little bit more of a conversation about the timing of when we can issue the demo permit for the home. Would be at the time we issue the building permit for construction of the home. It would be done at the same time.
Yeah, there would have to be an approved construction permit.
Okay, that's good. All right, thank you.
I actually have a question about the clarification of the conditions.
Sure.
I don't understand the review documentation or the rest of the documentation. Is that a condition or is that...
The review would be only of the documentation to take a look at it and say it's adequate. So if there, all documentation is not equal. If the photographs are well labeled, complete, the plans are clear, that's all we want to see, is that there's adequate documentation of the existing building.
So who decides that?
I'd say it would bring it to staff would be fine. This is not unusual to get historic documentation.
Normally it's a requirement that comes out of the report that we get. So this wasn't something we were doing beyond the report that was submitted originally for the project.
Just archival photographs, but there's nothing else that I'm aware of that's additional documentation needed for this project.
So that's what I'm asking. Like, what is the expectation on that? That's what Nancy's asking, and what I am asking is, what's the expectation on the part of the commission? Because normally, what you do is when you do your historic evaluation, one of the mitigation measures that come out of it is just what you indicated, Commissioner Roshan. This project didn't have that requirement associated with it, so.
I guess I'm suggesting that the documentation would meet those standards, and I'm leaving it up to staff, I think, to review that and say it's adequate. It's just always, I think you need a second check. As much as I love the applicants, I love all applicants, I think we do have to check and make sure that, you know, the documentation is there.
Okay. Thank you.
So this report by Cultural Resource Services, is that considered the documentation with the photographs that are in here? I could see having a better set of archival photographs done.
That was my expectation based on the comments initiated by Commissioner Roshan.
Yes, thank you.
I could see that.
And can I just add, Susan, again, that this only gave us further documentation regarding our history, right? So we're beefing up. If it does go away, we've just made more information available regarding our history by providing more photos, more documentation. That's what it was all about.
It's an archive.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if we had approved it last time around, we wouldn't be doing that. So that's all we were trying to do.
Yeah, I think the report is good. In terms of what I've experienced before, but I do think the photos at this point could be beefed up a little bit.
Agreed. I think the report tells the story.
Yeah.
And having some more pictures to help with that story is probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we're all on the same page.
Yep.
All right, excellent. Okay, any other comments? Are we ready?
Are you ready for a motion?
No. We're ready for a motion.
So I motion that on, what's the address?
B1?
3009.
3009 Beachcomber. We approve the staff report and staff's recommendations with the following conditions. The opportunity to meet with the applicant and discuss relocation of the house, if that becomes a valid option. The condition that the house will not be demolished prior to the construction permit being issued, that salvage would be a part of that discussion. And what was the third thing? A review and to staff's satisfaction that the documentation is complete.
Second.
Joe?
I was going to let you second, but that.
Okay, second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
Commissioner Ingrafia?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roshan?
Yes.
And Chair Stewart?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you to those in the audience who spoke on this and to those in the community who wrote about it.
Let me ask a really quick question.
You may ask a quick question.
So when that documentation of historic properties gets archived, does it live in the FOIA world, or is it accessible to the public? Is it available at the library?
I think there was copies required to be provided to the Historic Society and also copies to be available to the city, and the city can, I think, choose how they want to display archive file.
And maybe as part of this larger discussion that we're going to have here under the next item, it wouldn't be a bad idea as the city moves down the road potentially towards development of a historic preservation ordinance that we actually have a web page where some of this information could live, because that would be a great thing for the city to have.
Great idea.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And at the library is a good idea.
Yeah. We could do that as well.
Yeah.
I thought it occurred to me, and I don't want to muddy the waters with this issue. It's already sufficiently complex. But given the progress that they've made in photography and 3D photography and recreating environments, we should think in terms of this photographic record as somebody being used to construct something that might be of a 3D kind of immersive mm-hmm. nature. Who knows,
Yeah, I don't know if archiving the drawings, the construction drawings, I'm sure the original, Jim Mall drawings exist. Is that part of the documentation, do we know?
The city doesn't have those documents.
I'm sure if you just ask the architect, I'm pretty sure that they must exist, but that would be key. Because the original drawings are, kind of wonderful in themselves. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to item C, new business. Do we need a break? Let's take a 5-minute break. Everybody stretch your legs a little bit, and we will reconvene at 6:55. Thank you.
Kathy know?
All right, everybody, we're going to call it back together and get to our new business item, C1, discussion of the historic preservation ordinance. We do not have a staff report on this. However, there was a group of people, a committee that had gotten together and pulled together a draft ordinance that I hope everyone has had time to look at. Really some great work that was done by a group of people. I know my name is listed on this, and I'm really going to say right now, really it was everybody else. I sort of looked at it and said, atta guys, you keep going, it looks great. But there were some really good minds on this, and I just personally felt it was a really important project to be done. And I'm really excited that we're finally considering it today. So I think what we'll do is open up for public comment, because I know that there are people here who have been waiting. So who wants to go first? Mr. Siloway, who is president of the Morro Bay Historical Society, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Good evening, Planning Commission staff. I am so happy that this is getting onto this discussion and that we're going to be talking about this. Your comments so far tonight are really reinforcing to me, because you have expressed strong support for this project, and I think it's time for us to do it. It's not lost on me that we're talking about this ordinance at the same time we're talking about losing the Mall House. And it's indicative of how fast things can change. We have some properties in this city that are worth preserving, or at least we can try to preserve them, and we should do that. We need a process. You've talked about that. And it was in our general plan update that Scott worked on for so long, to have a whole program that includes an inventory, the ordinance, the Mills Act, and different kinds of components of a program that will help us to identify the properties that are worth preserving, or that we think are worth preserving, and then set up a structure so that we can try to do that. I do want to say that we started, the Historical Society started this, working on a draft ordinance in March of 2019, and we concluded that work in December of 2019, and finally, pandemic delays got it to the city in November of 2020. We haven't really revisited it. We are learn by doers, doing people. We are on our group, we have great people, but we didn't have any professional historic preservation folks. I do want to recognize that group, though, because we owe them a lot of thanks for their time. The roles I'm giving them were their roles in 2019. Michael Lucas, he's a professor of architecture at Cal Poly and a Morro Bay planning commissioner. Kathy Novak, principal of Kathy Novak Consulting and a former mayor of Morro Bay. Jeremiah O'Brien, former president of the Morro Bay Commercial Fishing Association, a member of the Morro Bay Harbor Board at that time. Ron Reisner, who's a principal in Ron Reisner Consulting, was the chair of the Morro Bay Harbor Board. Myself, Joan Solu, who is a director, current director on the Historical Society Board, and Susan Stewart, for all her modesty, is a great help to us on all of these things. You can see these are great people, and we put a lot of work into putting this draft on place. Because we're not professionals, we don't expect it to not change significantly. We just want to be part of that discussion, and we offer ourselves to be part of that discussion in any way that we can facilitate or help. We have a lot of time in it and a lot of commitment to it. So please think about using us. I will say one thing about the general philosophy that we adopted in this is to make it private property becoming part of the designation based on voluntary performance. There's no mechanism in what we submitted that would force people to participate or take it out of their control. We do suggest that the city needs to be looking at an incentive program to try to get people to want to preserve these projects. I think what Commissioner Roshan said earlier, there's a balance between preservation and the rights of the person on the property. In the Historical Society, we have a little saying, preservation with progress. And I think that that captures what we're trying to do here. So thank you. One last comment. Jim Mauld did a lot of buildings here in Morro Bay, and you can see three of them on the Embarcadero right next to each other, Marina Square, the Salt Building, and the Garden Gallery. You want to see something of his, go down and look at that. And then there's a hidden history panel on the Salt Building that is a little bit about Jim and Bev Mauld's life here. So thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Mr. Simons?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm back. Terry Simons, Morro Bay. I don't have a lot to say on this. I did send a letter to the Planning Commission that basically expresses my feeling that while the Historic Preservation Ordinance has been ongoing, apparently, for 5 years, I don't quite understand why that hasn't happened. I do think that some effort should be made to develop an architectural review commission or architectural review ordinance. It would be much more encompassing and would provide much greater opportunity for the city to both regulate and help direct the many times unguided applicants that come from out of town and don't understand our local design aesthetic. They don't understand our local conditions. I served for almost 8 years in the city of San Luis Obispo on the Architectural Review Commission and would be happy to help participate in that. I did want to make one personal note. I was quite disappointed, in fact, that the community development director put in his notes that there was no staff report when at a hearing that I attended recently, he quite frankly told this commission that he had a complete draft ordinance sitting on his desk ready to bring to a meeting. And I don't understand why that didn't make it into the staff report. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other public comment?
Evening, Commission. Eric Meyer, Morro Bay. A preservation ordinance is something that isn't very well understood by the general public, and I would appreciate that the Commission and or the Community Development Director discuss some of the benefits of a preservation ordinance, because I think a lot of people are maybe fearful if they're a property owner. But in many cases, for instance, with the Mills Act, I myself on a property that would have been valued at $1 million and thus have a $10,000 a year tax bill, after a Mills Act certification of a property, that tax was reduced down to $2,000 a year, with the understanding that the difference, the $8,000, would be used for the upkeep of the property. And so that's a big deal for a lot of people. That's a lot of money. The other thing is, when you start to introduce the idea of preservation, anybody who doesn't want to preserve their building suddenly decides, I'm going to tear my building down before this thing goes into action. So there, it may not be too exciting to everybody, but there should be some discussion about, is there any way of temporarily having some sort of structure that prevents the immediate demolition of structures that we might otherwise be unable to protect. And you guys are also talking about documentation. I know that on the Mall House, there's a tremendous video that a realtor named Natalie Tartaglia did about that property. That, and I don't know who owns or has the rights to that video, but if there is, and I also don't know who and where this documentation is being held. Is it held at the city? We talked a lot about the documentation. We didn't say where it goes. If you're going to describe documentation, you need to also say it's going to go into X, be the city, be it the Historical Society, be someplace, but not just talk about it ephemerally, because it might just go away. That's my comments. Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Winholtz.
Betty Winholtz. I appreciate all the previous comments. I read the ordinance that's being proposed by the society, and just briefly, but two things popped out to me that I want to say specifically about that proposal, and that is that it mentioned creating its own historical committee or commission that the city council would appoint, and that those members would not necessarily have to live in Morro Bay. And I'm a big believer that if people are on commissions in our city, they should have to live here. And I would think that in our population of, you know, 8,000 adults, with how many of those who are retired from all kinds of professions, I can't believe that we couldn't find some people to do that. My other personal opinion about that is I don't know that we need a separate committee. I would think that the Planning Commission could be that committee. And the reason I say that is a number of your responsibilities are now administrative, and so you actually have more time to do stuff. And so it seems to me this is a logical place for that to happen, and I would like to see that. And in terms of Mr. Meyer's last statement about the rush to, you know, do something to a building before it gets an effect, that kind of happened earlier when I was on council, when we were trying to preserve something, and so we put in an interim ordinance, emergency ordinance. The council passed and said, okay, we're taking out 6 months. Nothing can happen until this document's done. So maybe that would be one way that you could make sure that there's not a big rush, and not that there's a lot, and I don't know that people, like, this is just the beginning, I'm assuming, of this discussion, and that you guys will talk about it more than once, and that your recommendation is going to go to council, and they're probably going to talk about it more than once. So we're talking about a period of time here, and so I'm concerned about the interim.
Thank you for that. Anyone else have any comments? Seeing none in the audience, AGP, do we have anybody waiting in the queue?
We have no raised hands in the queue at this time.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll close public comment. Couple things just in response to public comment. I will say that while staff did not provide a report, they did provide us all with the draft ordinance. We've had it for a number of weeks now. I think actually provided it to us. Gosh, we started talking about it at the end of last year, I think, and then had it again delivered to us. So,
I've given it to you a couple of times. I mean, yeah. The reason it wasn't provided is because the council hasn't authorized you to work on an ordinance yet.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So we need to, you know, be careful about the things that we're doing. We're supposed to be working on things that are directed by city council in the way of goals and those types of things. But I do, you know, reading my crystal ball, think this is going to be one of the recommendations from the commission moving forward to city council.
Right.
But I don't like to get out over our ski. I don't want to get us out over our skis.
Right.
In case something else came up that the council felt was, you know.
But I do want to sort of appreciate that staff did provide us with information and the public provided us with the draft ordinance as well. So because we asked for it. And but you're right, it didn't go out into the report. And we could probably, as the Historical Society, make it available to people who are interested in reading it. Could we not? It is online, correct?
Joan Solu submitted a public comment.
Correct. So if you want to look at public comment in the city website, it is under public comment right now. So if anybody wants to take a look at it, it's there now. So that's under Planning Commission public comment for this meeting, it's there now. Any house that goes up for any kind of demolition or reconstruction at this point, if it is 50 years or older, is required to have a historic review. So that, at a minimum, is going to capture that whether or not it should be addressed in some form. So just to that, you know, is there going to be a rush to go and just tear buildings down? Mm-hmm. Hard to know. It can happen, has happened, certainly. And some people like to ask forgiveness afterwards. But if it's 50 years or older, the state law is there has to be a review of it and a report written, which is why we're starting to see so many of these reports, because we have so many properties in town that are 50 years or older. I was just commenting to Commissioner Ingraffia that it's interesting looking ahead. 50 years doesn't seem that old, and what in 50 years from now are going to be those properties that we look at and think, wow, you know, is that what we built, and did we really want to be preserving it? And maybe we should be thinking about that. And then interesting comment that Betty made in terms of, do we need a second committee? Looking at the folks that are applying for the Planning Commission, there are quite a few, and there's a part of me that thinks there's a lot of really great people out there. It might be worth having another committee just to get all those people involved in something. Lots of different things to talk about. So who wants to get us started on this?
We'll go from right to left.
At that end.
Only because Betty made the last comment about, okay, we don't have to rush. This is a start. But this Planning Commission has dealt with two projects recently where we had no tools, no way to preserve our history following our guidelines. So, and what we've been given as far as those tools. So I just like to read something here because I'm very familiar with this city, and it'll get to another point you made. It says, the Historical and Landmarks Commission acts in advisory capacity to the City Council in all matters pertaining to historical places and landmarks. It says here, the Commission provides advice on the naming and renaming of streets, museums, and the establishment, therefore, in the city, and the marking of preservation of historical landmarks and places, including homes. So what I'm saying, that's what one city already has in place. I agree with you that you could probably combine what duties that commission has onto a place like this where we're smaller. This place is like 10 times as big. So you know what I mean? You have a lot more work if you're only focused on history versus planning. But I believe that could be combined. That's a great idea. So, by the way, we're not, you know, moving to try to make a decision tonight. We're only talking about what we're experienced with and what we'd like to possibly see moving forward and make recommendations to our council for us to be given the opportunity to start working on this. But the longer we wait, I'm just trying to make this point, the longer we wait, the more history we're going to lose, period. That's why we've got to get the ball rolling on this as soon as possible. So that's all I'll say for now. So there's ways to do it. It's all about process. Because when you've been a planning commissioner for 10 years, you start to understand the process. And I agree with staff, you can't get in front of yourself. And that the council has to know what you're doing and actually give you that work. If it's above and beyond the guidelines that we use as planning commissioners. So we're trying to put more on our plate or give us new tools, more tools to do our job better. That's what it's about. So I'll leave it there.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Roshan.
So let me start with this planning commission asked for this agenda because there's urgency here. And the opportunity is there. So I would start with the fact that I think we all feel a great deal of respect for the Historic Society of Morro Bay, how this has been started. For some of the folks in the audience, you know, Betty and you know, Eric, these are people that know the town much, much better than I ever will. What the commission's job is not to say what should be done, but to look for process and, especially through the cases we see, create a sense of purpose and urgency. So I guess that's my call to alert, that we have to be urgent about this. Just because we submitted it has not been enough. The council hasn't acted, and in fact, it's actually decided not to act. So with the new council, I guess I would like to suggest that we as a commission talk about the urgency that we found with the Little Red House, with the Jim Mall House, but also with what we see as the character of our city. I mean, this is not a small thing. When you lose these buildings, they're gone. So to express that urgency and then to make a recommendation to the city council. Number one, to provide work priority for staff. None of this is going to get done until the priority from City Council allows Scott to spend time on it. Even if we do something as an interim, we still need his ability to work on it. So I think our recommendation, or what I would propose, the motion is going to include that we make a recommendation to City Council to make this a work priority. Is that the right way to say it, Scott?
I think that works good. Yeah.
Okay. The second thing is, I love Betty's idea, mine too, to adopt an interim ordinance. I think we have every chance to adopt the Historic Society's work. I think it's a very well done document. I think we can, you know, parse it and maybe make it better or customize it where it needs to be. But it's a great place to start. And I want to thank you guys again for doing it. But I think we make the recommendation to City Council that we need at least an interim ordinance that stops, you know, demolition. And the third thing I guess I would say is the Planning Commission, we can propose that this is not just a priority for us, but we want to alert all applicants that this is a priority. That if you're going to go through Planning Commission, please think twice about the historic nature of your building, think what that means. And this is, we can't do anything now until there's an interim ordinance or until the actual ordinance gets passed. But we can raise it to the point of a priority and a strong suggestion to all applicants to consider the historic efforts. There's a number of things that we're going to try to do once the historic ordinance gets adopted. One is to become a certified local government. The other is to look at inventories. I do think one way to bring some effort to this is to do an inventory almost immediately that talks about endangered buildings. I think we could open the doors to locals. My guess is we could come up with the first pass at that in a week, 2 weeks, maybe faster. At least get it out there that we're serious, there's opportunities here, and why lose another, gem. So I think inventories are a big thing, the local register, and all of that is going to come clear in the ordinance. Whether it's a committee, I don't know. I don't want to opine on that or say, you know, how it should be done. I think there's multiple options of how we might be able to make it work. But I did like Eric's comment, too, that we really do want to become a platform to familiarize, you know, the citizens of Morro Bay of the reasons we want to do this, but also the advantages for the city. And again, it's, you know, and thanks, Glenn, for mentioning it. It is the how do we take property rights and public values and find the right way to combine them. Property rights, if we just do that, we'll wake up one day and Morro Bay won't look like Morro Bay. It'll look like, I'll make fun of Pismo Beach. It'll look like Pismo Beach. Not that Pismo Beach is bad, but I don't think Morro Bay wants to look like Pismo Beach. If we don't act, that's what happens. So I guess when we're ready, I would like to make those motions around a motion to go to council and then also the ability for us to put together a group off of the Planning Commission that starts looking at these interim efforts and inventories. And I would also offer to anybody out there who's willing to help with this, that would be greatly appreciated. The knowledge, I've talked to a bunch of you. You guys know so much. The stories in this town are so spectacular. It's just unbelievable the cultural resources we have here. And this is one way that I think we have the responsibility of not just recognizing it, but telling those stories. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
I hear you.
Okay.
Let's see. I agree with everything you said, but specifically, yes, we should ask that it be prioritized by the City Council so that funds are available, and absolutely that there be some sort of interim ordinance in place to prevent premature demolitions. With respect to there being some kind of an architectural board who might first vet the suitability of some of these houses, you know, I can recall that over my years on the Planning Commission, I've learned so much from the architectural professionals who have been on the board. And I think we might lose some of the fine points if we didn't have people of that professional caliber on a board who would sort of lead us in that way. I don't want to devote too much time to the sort of draft of it. I will say a couple of things. Of course, we do need to sort of incorporate a Mills Act provision within our city to make that work. The draft that I read seemed to be a little bit vague in terms of the mechanism for how owners could resign from the register. I read it a number of times, and I'm left with the impression that if the owner decided to do that, they would simply make an application telling the city that that's what they were doing, which doesn't seem to me both a worthwhile or logical approach to take on that. I also note, I have the advantage, I have a relative who manages the Office for Historical Preservation in Glendale. And so I was able to look at their city ordinance. And theirs has very specific provisions, the penalty provisions. And I see also often in city ordinances where, for whatever reason, the penalty provisions usually seem to be a little inadequate. And so I'd suggest that whoever is going to look at this more closely. And there has to do things with injunctions and assessing the cost of investigations as to what's gone on in the property, as well as penalties of 2 and 3 years sometimes when there's a an intentional or negligent violation. The other thing is that I think we should talk about this. Some of the other cities have provisions where it's not simply a inclusion in the register by virtue of the initiative of the property owner. Now, I realize, this can be a controversial and divisive issue. I mean, the one I'm thinking of in particular allows a 4/5 majority of the city council to include a property on the register. We ought to talk about that. I suspect that kind of a measure would not be as divisive or as controversial as people at first glance would think, largely because there are probably a lot more people supporting preservation and fewer people with property that is the subject of that preservation who would not want to do it. So the numbers would speak in favor of it, I think. Certainly, anybody who wanted to appeal, an owner who wanted to appeal that registration by the city, I think it should be expense-free, so there wouldn't be any onus in terms of expense of him pursuing this in an appeal situation. As Bill was saying, we have to weigh the rights of the owner versus the rights of the community to preserve some of these architectural treasures. So how could you make it a little more acceptable? And one thing is, sometimes you sort of weigh the standard of decision-making. Like you could say that the city council could vote to preserve a piece of property if the preponderance of the evidence supporting its preservation was so the evidence was a preponderance of the evidence, so there was overwhelmingly that it should be preserved, rather than more of a difference of opinion. If there was virtually no rational way to say that this particular property wasn't worthy of preservation. Finally, I'll say, because there's always the rule of unintended consequences, if we had, some sort of a preservation ordinance that had this kind of a provision in it, say it was in effect for 3 or 5 years, and then we would reevaluate it. And at the reevaluation, if we decided that this really was too controversial or too onerous or giving rise to too many disputes, we could eliminate it. And we might even, at that point, say, and as we are eliminating that provision, we are eliminating, you know, our judgments with respect to those properties that the city council decided to preserve, excluding the ones that the owner might still, some of those properties, the owner might still want to have it in the register. But if the others wanted to drop out, then no harm. And we would say, well, we had an idea. The consequences overwhelmed us. We don't think it's such a good idea now. Anyway, I just think we ought not to, out of hand, dispense with the notion that it has to be only by the initiative of the owner.
Ms. King.
Yeah, I have to agree with what you guys have said and the direction of your recommendations. It's been a couple weeks since I read the recommendations or draft ordinance that has the liberty to change and be added to and taken away from. But what I can't quite remember is if it addressed the, or if any of our current policies address the environmental and social justice aspects that really need to be considered when looking at historic preservation. I know it's a little bit less of an issue in a town like ours, but often historic preservation can be used against projects that might be of a public benefit that benefits those that are more marginalized populations, underrepresented in government, or that need public, another kind of public benefit rather than historical benefit. And so I would just want to add that whatever ordinance or whatever recommendations we put forward, that part of those recommendations consider the literature and current analysis on the impacts of historical ordinances on marginalized communities. And like I said, I know that might be less of a concern in Morro Bay, but I think it's a really important precedent and thing to consider as we build out an analysis for a policy like this.
Actually, thanks for that. I think that's really important. I would like to add into that, couple things. We had brought this forward as a different commission, as a primary goal, and it was interesting to me at the time that it was a 5-0 vote as the number one goal of the Planning Commission brought forward to a previous council as the primary goal, and it didn't get a hearing on that. So I think it's important and interesting with a new commission and a new council. We'll see where it goes. And yes, there were a lot of important things on the table. We had a general plan to get through and a zoning code to get through and a lot of things. But
those were largely the reasons why it didn't get moved forward. They wanted us to finish that. We've been working on those for years.
So maybe this is the time. And again, as some people have pointed out, this is in the general plan to get this.
100% is in the general plan.
Yep, it's there. So would definitely agree with that. I think it's also important the voluntary quality of it. The opt-in is important to our community so folks are not fearful of it. But then I think also laying out those incentives is important and coming up with what those might be. I think it's also important to look at the different kinds of properties we have, so private properties, but also public properties and commercial properties. And when we look at commercial properties, I think also gives us the opportunity to look at districts, possibly even with residential, but I think, and that's where it's going to be very interesting when we get into doing a survey of where our historic properties are, because when this town was originally settled, it was sparse. You know, there were little properties here and there, so it was not clustered together. But the commercial areas were. And so looking at districts in that way and how we would identify that as we move forward could be really interesting. I do like the idea of possibly developing some kind of an interim ordinance, although I wonder if, again, it's a voluntary thing, what that can do for us. Not too much. So make some paperwork, I guess. I also think, initially at least, I would like us to look at this idea of a separate historic preservation advisory board that would be made up of experts in the fields of architecture, in the fields of local history. I could see it having some members of the Historical Society, perhaps a member or two from the Planning Commission, perhaps from previous Planning Commissions. You know, Michael Lucas might be another person to invite on that who was an architect and very interested in architecture. Some folks out in the audience, Eric might be a great person. So, you know, getting some more feet on the ground and folks who might be able to do those inventories, get that part going. To me, the more bodies we have involved, the quicker things might actually happen on this. So at this point...
Can I just add one other thing? Because you're talking about what I wanted to talk about, and that's historical districts. Because that's what bigger cities create. You go through a big city, you're going to see historical district. You're now entering a historical district. Well, once we do this inventory, that may establish a district, a small one, but and that gets back to what Joe was saying. So if somebody buys a home in that district, they know it's a historical district. So if they're buying there, they're going to know that, be on alert. If you want to do something with that home, you're going to have to do a little bit more work when it comes to working with the Planning Commission and changing your home. So by identifying, clearly identifying areas, inventories, districts, you're doing that. You're providing information up front so that a property owner from another state can come in here and say, okay, I know exactly what I'm buying and I know what I can do there. So all I'm saying is it just gives us more information for both the new owners, the current owners, and then the boards and commissions and the council, of course, that have to deal with it if we create another commission, by the way. That would be given if we had more than one commission. I think that we could probably do it with one since we don't have a lot of, you know, we're not a bigger city. We could probably do all that with one, but we deal with the issue with what Joe was talking about, which is voluntary versus non-voluntary. A historical district versus just a regular old home that needs to be remodeled. A lot of money needs to be put in there. That's good, too. It's all good. Just as long as we understand each other, right? The applicant understands what we need to do in preserving our history as well as just, you know, day-to-day what we do as a planning commission. Thank you.
I agree with that, but I also think that the district will probably have most relevance with respect to commercial properties. Again, the way housing has occurred in Morro Bay, I'm not optimistic that we're going to be able to find residential districts. And, you know, stating the obvious, because of that, and if it's solely voluntary, we could tomorrow or the next day or next year be confronted with what we were confronted today with the Mall House, a house worthy of preservation without doubt, but for which the owner has no interest in preserving, and we will be powerless to do anything except try to implore him not to demolish the house. And in view of not only the increasing prices of housing in Morro Bay, but just the increasing prices of just the dirt on the lots means that increasingly well-heeled and affluent people are going to move here, and they are going to want to increase their houses and make them more luxurious, and we may be losing some of our gems.
We do have some pretty interesting little properties when I think about downtown Morro Bay, which has a lot of really great older commercial buildings, but also has some of the oldest residential buildings left in town, right in the center of town, which are being used as vacation rentals right now.
Chair Stewart.
Yes.
I'm wondering if I could suggest a motion.
I think so.
And I'm thinking that all of these points are important, but mm-hmm. we're not going to solve them tonight. This is the first.
Well, it needs to be a goal before we can get
there. For sure. And we need to have a platform.
Yeah.
So to create that platform, I would like the commissioners to consider a two-part motion. One, that we make recommendations to City Council. And that has three parts. The first recommendation to City Council is to allow staff to prioritize historic preservation as a work priority. One. Number two, for their consideration is to move forward the Historic Society of Morro Bay's ordinance and to initiate consideration and work on that. Three is to encourage the City Council to consider an interim ordinance. And I'm not going to describe how that should be done, but Scott, that would be sort of, I think, a recommendation from staff, how best to not end up with losing two historic properties in 2 months. So that would be the first part of the motion. The second part of the motion is that the Morro Bay Planning Commission would raise and support the historic ordinance, the one that the Historic Society of Morro Bay has put forward. We would make that a recommendation for all applicants to strongly consider that as part of their ongoing awareness of where the city is headed. So the commission would raise it as a recommendation and an awareness. We can't adopt it, but we can certainly raise it as a consideration. As part of what the commission would also do is I do think we should consider an inventory, and I would say it would be an inventory that would be done with an ad hoc group to come up with buildings that we consider significant, important, and possibly endangered. I think that would be my motion.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion on that?
I'm wondering, with that ad hoc group, could we include the Historical Society members sure. of
mm-hmm.
in that?
I think we would, if we move that forward, we would come back and yeah. maybe at the next meeting sort of parse it. But I like that idea.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify this with the maker of the motion. So you had it a two-part, right? So the first part was the most important part, right?
The motion to City Council.
Yeah. So that was by far, that's our goal, is to get this in front of the council. Let's get something going. The second part is more of how to. Or
it's about how we would raise the issue within our own purview.
That's right. So how we do it. But by far, number one is, so I don't want this all to fail and die. So I support both, but I want to make sure we get the first part, which is the high priority thing there. If they don't like the what we defined as how to,
okay.
I would, you know what I mean? Because of, I don't want it all to die. Let's get the first part by far as the high priority, because some people might get caught up on
you want to break it apart?
Yes.
So one reason I might not want to break it apart
okay.
is I think we adopt this priority whether or not the City Council takes action. We get the opportunity to sort of make our opinion known around this issue. We cannot influence what Scott does, but we can certainly mm-hmm. influence what the City Planning Commission does.
Okay. And I want to talk to Joe, because you're there on this kind of stuff. But do you understand what I was trying to do, Joe? The first part by far is the high priority in front of the council. The second part is more of how does the Planning Commission do it? I think that's a little bit getting beyond the, but I support both. Don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure we get it in front of the council. And don't let it flounder again.
Well, I like the idea of the Planning Commission speaking as one voice, and yes, I'm afraid I like Bill's defense of that. I do.
Okay. So could I also, and welcome further discussion on this motion, of course, but also recommend to commissioners, I think it can be, I mean, obviously we will be forwarding this motion, and Mr. Graham will make this report to council at the time that it's relevant to bring it up, but it's important to go to council meetings and you know, speak as a commissioner,
mm-hmm.
Or as a resident of Morro Bay, or as a person who cares about Morro Bay history in support of this idea.
So could this be on the agenda for next week's meeting?
For the
City Council?
City Council meeting? Or?
Too fast. But no.
No.
No, this would be part of it. This would be added to the agenda when they have their first goal-setting session.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be
not
going to the...
Not before that, you don't think?
No.
No.
No. I mean, this is the direction the council's given. I mean, they just adopted the goal-setting calendar at their last City Council meeting.
Is it March?
I apologize. I have to go pull it back up. I read it when it first came out, and I don't recall at the moment.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, Scott? So when our opportunity comes, would you recommend that, say, Bill, and I'm going to add another planning commission, would you recommend that they go at that time to put forward this goal?
Well, I think
the planning commission at that time.
Well, certainly. I mean, you want to support,
yes.
You know, especially we're going to take a vote here, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd want to support what the majority of the Planning Commission would like to see as part of your goals. This is one item. You're going to,
right.
I mean, come back with a goal discussion that adds other items as well.
Yeah. But this is our highest priority.
Yeah. And we will make that clear.
Yeah. And the reason I ask that is because I would recommend that Bill go at the appropriate time. I would ask that Joe join Bill, and if he's not willing to, I will.
Okay.
So I would defer to Joe first, but if Joe is not, you know, up to that, or, you know, you have too much on your plate, I'd be willing to do it, Joe. But I'd like to give Joe that first opportunity.
Yes.
When the council is ready for it.
I'd be honored. I accept that.
Okay, great.
I think when things come before the commission,
mm-hmm.
that are beyond the ordinary concerns, a house here or a setback there. But when there are these kinds of issues,
mm-hmm.
You know, that involve, you know, decades of consequences,
yes.
It might not be out of the question for, you know, all members of the Planning Commission to come before the City Council and explain in detail, you know, the justification for their position. Because, mm-hmm. So there's a limit to what you can put down on a piece of paper explaining why the Planning Commission did what they did, and I'm sure they're too busy to be able to sit down and, you know, tune into numerous and watch, you know, video recordings.
Yeah. Yeah.
We think it's important enough, yeah. We ought to go and explain to them, yeah.
And
why
just,
we think it's so
just
important.
To clarify, Joe, I would ask that you and Bill attend that meeting to participate, but I'm going to sit there and watch it happen. Yeah. I want to clarify, I will be at that meeting, but I'm not going to be the commissioner up there in the front two seats doing the job for me.
No, we might even say we are speaking on behalf of the Planning Commission, of which three or four or five of us are in the audience.
That's right.
And all right. And any other discussion on this motion?
But I want to make sure that Bill and Joe would be added to that, you know, as part of it.
That's not
when
part of the
there.
Motion.
Okay,
but let's move.
Okay,
on.
That's fine.
All right, let's call the vote here.
Just give me 1 second.
No problem. Having some technical.
Read that motion.
Yeah, do you want to read it back, Scott?
Sure, we can do that. I have the first component, mm-hmm. the recommendation, has three parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, part one would be to allow staff to prioritize historic preservation as a work priority in my department. To move forward and start the process with the historic preservation ordinance that was provided by the Morro Bay Historical Society. It's kind of the starting point for this effort. and that the council move forward an interim ordinance. And that's maybe where I might have a question, and maybe we could talk about that a little bit. But I'm going to move on to the other piece of it to get that piece right, and then we can come back to that. And that the Planning Commission consider forming an ad hoc committee to develop the process for an inventory, and I suppose to work on the ordinance. Is that also what you were looking to do? I had a question here next to it, which is what I was kind of scrolling through to find out.
I mean, I think I don't want to put the horse in front of the cart in front of the horse. So I guess I'm thinking we do an ad hoc committee to begin considering next steps, but the one I did want to list was the inventory.
The inventory, okay.
And then we would also elevate the Historic Society of Morro Bay's proposed ordinance as a priority for this commission.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think from that standpoint, we would, you know, from a staff standpoint, as we have those properties that are 50 years and older, and we get those historic reports, if they come back like the Little Red House, the Mall House, they come back and say those are historically relevant to Morro Bay, that's when we would make that information known to the folks coming forward. Or at the time when we talk to them at the counter, either way. So,
yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that point that it's made known to applicants.
Trying to avoid the gotcha moment, right? So, yeah. So now if we could actually go back to that third piece of the first part of the recommendation, the interim ordinance, would be happy to entertain some additional conversation on how I might describe that to the city council.
Could we start with you? How would you, in your experience, what would an interim ordinance look like?
So we can adopt urgency ordinances to deal with issues that we're having in the city, so that can take place. They can be in place for up to 24 months. So we could do something along those lines. In fact, we did that when we were going through the development of the short-term rental ordinance. Some of you may recall that. So that is something that can be done. And we can put in place policies, you know, that relate to it. We could put in place largely the ordinance that was put forward, although it's the way that the ordinance is put forward by the Historical Society, and it didn't have a complete agreement on the board there. That is voluntary. And the issue, I think, that you rightfully raised, and I think Commissioner Graffia mentioned it several times, was that you can end up with the same situation that we would have with the Mall House, and that if somebody doesn't opt in, then you lose the building. So wasn't sure exactly where you guys stood on that, and a little more conversation would be helpful for me.
The problem I see is that the carrot of getting people to opt in and, you know, having an urgency ordinance is the incentives, and you can't really offer the incentives until you're a certified local government and can apply Mills Act and tax incentives and so on. So how do you provide the incentives that make somebody want to opt in?
You don't.
Yeah.
So they're not there yet.
That's the problem.
But the interim ordinance would say you can't knock your building down in the next 6 months.
I'm just not sure how to
make that threshold.
Commissioner Roshan, that's actually a great comment.
Yeah.
Can I get some the feeling of the rest of the commission on something along those lines? It could be something fairly simple. I have seen other jurisdictions do things like this. I just need to do some research on it to see if I can't find one that's kind of the right fit. So I'd like to kind of get the feel of the commission.
So my fear, because I think there's a lot of fear-based action in the world, is that people listening to this meeting may get the wrong idea and rush to tear down buildings before anything happens, thinking, oh my gosh, somebody's going to go out and say it's historic and I won't be able to do anything with it. And so in some ways, you know, having even a year or two to say you can't do that until we have something in place to give you some carrots, you know, feels a little, I mean, it doesn't it doesn't feel great because it's sort of making an assumption about human nature that isn't terrific, and yet at the same time, I worry because I know a lot of people react that way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've probably been the main contributor to that kind of fear by my comments today. I can imagine people will say, I don't want to have to deal with this in the future. I know it's going to be something that's complicated and probably will fall out to my disadvantage, so let's tear the place down now. So I think we have to do something.
So I'm happy, you know, if the commission, you know, will indulge me, I'm happy to come back at the next meeting, you know, to bring back something that the interim ordinance might contain so that you have something to consider and really discuss. It'll also give me an opportunity to talk to the city attorney's office. Our city attorney's office represents several cities in California, so they might also have some decent input along these lines. They certainly helped when we were doing the short-term rental ordinance and helping us out with our interim urgency ordinance that we passed in.
So, Scott,
could I ask you, when you're talking to the city attorney's office, to also, you know, ask him about this whole idea of a city government imposed registration, because I imagine other cities have dealt with that and the unjustified taking of property, and I'm sure we can avoid that kind of a claim, but I'd like to hear what he has to say about just how you structure it.
Okay, I will ask him about that.
I can definitely see supporting like some kind of time-banded moratorium, but mm-hmm. I'm also curious how, as you're researching policy from other places, how do they, if we don't yet have an inventory, how do they qualify residents or buildings?
That's very astute, Commissioner King. That was sort of one of the things I was trying to get my head around and to right fit it, because we don't have that. And that's kind of why I maybe wanted to be a little more deliberate on that one item. Just so I could get my head around what it might look like and then where we would stand legally in doing something like that. I don't want to make a recommendation from the Planning Commission that goes to City Council and we're getting ready to go and the city attorney's like, well, we can't do that.
So the motion that I made is to consider an interim ordinance. Ordinance. And we're not writing it tonight. So I think the fact that you would come back at the next meeting and we could be more specific, you know, whatever it might be, I think that's going to take some debate and some craft. So I guess I think what you're asking is we're suggesting that that's would be necessary in terms of taking this on. The nature and exact language about that is something that's going to have to be evolved, I think, responsibly.
Well, certainly over time, yeah, when you're developing an ordinance. That's not what we're doing here. It's just we're going to make recommendations and, one, want to be thoughtful about that when I make the recommendation to City Council and as I write it up for the Commission. And I want the Commission to kind of be on the same page about what that might look like, and then I want to be on firm legal stand, you know, ground.
Well, can we leave the motion as is and then add to it a friendly amendment that what we'll do is come back and review more specific language around the interim ordinance at the next meeting?
Yeah, that's fine with me. Yeah, that works. Yeah, mm-hmm. Fine with that.
All right.
Any more comments from
you? No, you wanted input, Scott, but I agree that this is only interim. We're looking for interim language that'll get us through the legal process, get this back to the Planning Commission so that we can do it. So, you know, I agree with that whole concept, but we definitely do want to elevate it to council as soon as possible.
Okay.
I agree with that.
So we have a motion and a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Agrafia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Roshi?
Yes.
Chairperson Stewart?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes 5-0.
Oh, happy day.
All right. We have nothing listed under unfinished business.
Can I just clarify something, Chair Stewart?
Sure.
So, Scott, I know you're always putting more on your plate. Sorry. We're part of that problem you have, but I want to make sure that we are going to be dealing with our public benefits, community benefits item on the first meeting of February. It should be on your agenda, so just to make sure, because we're ready to go.
We're not that ready because I haven't gotten the information from Mr. Green.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is the plan, assuming that I get that information from you guys.
Okay. So, Joe, I think I thought we were there, but we'll get in touch with, when do you need it by? What's our drop dead date? That we will get.
For the, let me look at the calendar, sorry.
First meeting in February.
Okay, first meeting in February is the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
So would have to have that 23rd, 24th, something like that.
So we'll reach out to Scott, to Sean, and make sure that that memo is available to you.
Week from now would be good. If it's a little bit longer, just let me know, and I can work with you on it.
Okay.
So Joe? Sean needs to submit the draft of this.
Otherwise, I don't have anything for the Planning Commission to look at.
And it would be the updated.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an update.
We had the last version, and yeah. I'll provide links to that staff report so the commission can go back and look at what was here before. So
I just want to make sure before we leave the historic preservation ordinance that in the next meeting there will be an agenda item where we'll talk about the interim ordinance.
Correct.
And then we can also have discussions. One of the important things that I heard from here and I've heard from the audience is how we start engaging the community about what this is. And so I would love in the next meeting to see if we can come up with some specifics about outreach.
Can I get a couple of head nods from you folks? Thank you. I will add that to the language for the item, okay?
Thank you.
We do still have the president of the Historical Society in the audience, and that may be something that they can consider in their next meeting, which I think is tomorrow, and have some discussions about that, reaching out to the larger community. Social media is great, Glenn. I forgot that, Scott, I was going to have you quickly address the new wayfinding signs. There was a public comment on our emails. Somebody was concerned about how the signs were paid for.
Yeah, I mean, that money is from like 5 years ago. Economic development one-time funds the city received and allocated towards that project based on a ton of outreach to our commercial community. It was a long time coming. I want to say we started it like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened, and we ran into problems related to supply chain issues for components of the project as well. It just seemed like it ran into issues from every turn, but they're finally up. But that's where it came from. It was a one-time fund that was allocated towards economic development, and that's where it came from. And again, it was at the behest of a lot of outreach that we did with our commercial community.
Yeah, and again, I think we sometimes forget that, those of us who've lived here for a long time feel like, well, we know where everything is, but this is a town where a lot of people are new to the area and finding their way around, and those signs are very helpful and did need to be refreshed, and I think it's a great look for the community and hopefully is helping people find their way around.
Yeah, I mean, the refresh comment that you make is a good one. The city had done wayfinding signage poorly in the past.
Yep.
I mean, only insofar as there were several different types of signs, and the font on them was so small that you really couldn't read them from a vehicle.
Right.
So certainly it wasn't very effective, which was one of the complaints that we got from our commercial folks was like, yeah, you have these signs, but they don't match, and they sometimes point to things you don't have, and then another instance you can't really read them, and so it was also part of the.
Oh, these are lovely, and driving at night, they reflect nicely just with headlights. You can actually see them and read them. I'm super pleased with them. So, okay, any planning commissioner comments? Future agenda items? We have a few already.
There were a couple of questions that came up the last meeting that I thought were really interesting, and I don't know if we've learned anything more about it. The Bird Street apartment building and the short-term vacation conversion. And
So I did. That's the Alder.
Yeah.
Project. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had been engaged with them prior to that coming forward, and we made contact with them, let them know that they can't operate as a short-term rental. On the main platforms like Airbnb, VRBO, they're not listed as short-term rentals. They're listed as long-term rentals. We did find another platform, though, that had it noted as a short-term rental. It doesn't appear that they were actually renting it out that way, but we've made contact or are in the process. I'm not sure if the letter's gone out or not with them to tell them they can't do that. So,
excellent.
So that was actually good, and we did a little bit of extra research because it was coming from somewhere. You know, people were saying that, and I was like, we don't see it. And then we did a little more, digging and It was actually one of the platforms, it was a newer one, that host compliance wasn't monitoring, so they're monitoring it now.
Wow, interesting. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, Community Development Director comments.
Oh, what do I have?
Madam Chair, if I could for just a moment. As this is your last official meeting, I just wanted to thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Simons. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'll take the opportunity to do the same thing. You know, I definitely appreciate the amount of time and effort you've put into the city, Susan. And it's, you know, that fact that you were willing to, you know, chair the Planning Commission. You were on our, you know, General Plan Advisory Committee. You even ended up chairing that. I mean, your willingness to step forward in support of things that are happening in Morro Bay should be lauded. And I, for one, definitely appreciate your openness, your willingness to, you know, engage the community, work through the issues that the commission's had in front of them. You know, it's important that you have, you know, good chairs on your planning commission to do those types of things. And I definitely appreciate your serving on the planning commission, and I'm going to miss you.
Thank you. And I'm going to miss you too.
And Susan, I just wanted to add, public service is a good thing. So I'm sure that your new community is going to appreciate getting you. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, I think we are ready to adjourn. Your next meeting will be February 7th, 2023 at 6 o'clock. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.